chambers and to see this and that. But we ask, where is the Holocaust Museum for what happened to people here in this country? And those officials who are in Congress or in City Hall or in local government or state government or the federal government who come from the African American community, this issue should be channeled towards them in a public manner, to have them respond, to let everyone else see how they feel about this issue.
Yes.
How many of them are in Congress?
Yes.
What have they done?
Right.
How many of these Jews who owe their loyalty and their fealty and their allegiance to Israel, look what they have done for the Jewish people. The brother brought up the word reparations.
Right.
Why isn't this word circulating from one corner, from one quarter, from one county, from one state to the other in this land? What are the double standards? Why are there certain people who owe the Jews and the Zionists and the Israelis, but other people who are in the same position are not owed a penny? Why is a double standard? Let them tell us, come out, speak to us. Yeah, you officials, you Uncle Toms, speak to us, tell us, why is this the case? What are you doing there? What have you been doing there all of these years? Justify yourself. Do you represent? Who do you represent? Tell us, who are you representing? And then let us listen to them. Give them the freedom. They say this is life. Okay, you have all the freedom in the world. Talk to us. Respond. Reply. Answer our concerns.
Yes.
But of course, they'll get away with this. Why? Because they've secured the same internal front. Where are the churches in this country?
Good question.
Most of the African Americans here go to church. They're very religious people. It's part of the nature. You want to go to church on Sunday, right? You go to those churches. What do they tell you? Who's your savior? Who's your God? Certainly looks like someone comes out of Europe somewhere. And so how are you going to put your God responsible for slavery? Or the image of your God responsible for slavery? They've secured that front too. So they've secured the Islamic front in this country.
Check it out.
Via Saudi Arabia.
Right.
And they've secured the African American front in this country via these false preachers. And we are left here on our own. And what do they want to do among us who are left to face them all united? They want to divide us. Look, you are this type of Muslim and you're that type of Muslim. You come from this country and they come from that country. You are from the suburbs, but you're from the slum. They throw in all of these issues, and then we are left scratching our heads, trying to kill the roaches in our kitchens. Instead of killing the big roach in the White House, we have to kill the smaller ones in the crevices of our dilapidating buildings. These are the type of figures who are coming out and saying there's an axis of evil in this world. And you look at these countries. Look at the countries they're talking about. They're talking about Iran, they're talking about Iraq, and they're talking about North Korea. Now this axis of evil, I don't know if this information has gotten out enough, but the person who coined this word was a journalist who is one of the speech writers in the White House. And his wife got on the internet. She made the big mistake of bragging that her husband was actually the person who coined this word for the president that has become a worldwide cliche, a worldwide famous conjugation of words. And then when this leaked out, the president, this guy in the White House, turned to him and said, well, your wife cost you your job. You can't be here. And a look at this person's name and his wife's job and the background in all of this gives reason to believe that he strongly belongs in the camp of the Zionist, Israeli, Jewish interest. He's gone, he planted that word, he poisoned the minds of only Allah knows how many people out there with this word, and they try now to whip up this hysteria in preparation for larger military offenses and tragedies that will befall. They're killing every month. This goes unnoticed. No one speaks about this, barely. I mean, we do probably in our limited gatherings, but as far as the larger public opinion out there, no one is bringing up the issue that U.S. policy has been systematic for the past at least 10 years, killing at least, according to their own numbers, how many children in Iraq? Does anyone have a notion of how many children they're killing in Iraq every month? I mean, when you think about it, I would tell you they're killing 5,000 children in Iraq every month. Babies! Because the babies are not having food, the basic nutrition. They don't have medicine, basic medicine, over-the-counter type of things. They don't have it to give to their babies. So here you have a population, for the past 10 years, 120 months, every month, 5,000 of them are disappearing. What are we speaking about here? I mean, this staggers the mind. Just for a moment, when you think about it in the privacy of your own thoughts. And who's responsible? These are not killed by acts of nature. These are killed by deliberate policies that were thought out. Closely considered and argued back and forth among the high-ranking people in the administration of this country and then bounced around from Republican to Democratic and back to Republican administrations. There's no serious disagreement. Madeleine Albright said that it is worth it. Their policies, the ends that they are seeking justifies this means. Right. If they are seeking to depopulate Iraq, which in the humble opinion of this person, that is their objective. They want Iraq a depopulated land because the Holy Land is overpopulated with the wrong people. The Palestinians, the Muslims, the Christians who are not Zionist Israeli Jews have become a demographic bomb that is ticking away in the West Bank, in Gaza, in pre-1967 Palestine, and they want to get rid of them. So how are they going to do this? They have to make room for them. So they've been making room for them. This is their policy. They've been making room for them and they want to resettle them. Sharon's vision, he calls it a vision, it's a murder policy, a genocidal policy, has always been, yeah, the Palestinians, they have a homeland. But where's that homeland? It's east of the River Jordan. So they can cross, and if Jordan happens to be a desert, we know they're not going to be able, 2 million Palestinians are not going to be able to live in the desert, okay. They can go a little further and settle in Iraq. And we've been preparing Iraq for their eventual arrival.